Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Omnis Dream, and Psychological Productions proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. King Baby Duck here. I hope you all enjoyed last week's PlayStation 4 launch special, and I have to give special thanks again to Poston J from Gamertag Radio and Eric from RP Grinders for coming on the show to talk about it. It was a lot of fun, and I look forward to having them on again sometime in the near future. Now, for those of you who are wondering if I'll be doing the same for the Xbox One, well, seeing as it's out now, and you're hearing the regular No Borders No Race show, you can probably figure out that answer yourself. I think Ninja and Panda might do one on Esh, so be sure to check out their site on esh.co to see if they manage to do it. I'll be getting an Xbox One eventually, just not until later next year. I spent my hard-earned cash on the PS4, and Microsoft doesn't seem to have the best track record when it comes to system launches. Neither does Sony, mind you, and even they had some day one problems like the blue light of death and the HDMI output not working. I just want to make sure that Sony gets all the bugs out of their system before I go and purchase it. Probably not until sometime after PAX East, maybe a bit before E3, but I'll get it later on. I haven't had any issues yet with my PS4, and I'm crossing my fingers every time I turn it on until I know it's safe to be assured that nothing will happen to it. So, let's all just take a deep breath. Hope for the best for the new systems, and get the show on the way. Remember, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, please buy their music and various other works. And you can find them at all these places like cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and even your local record stores. Let's kick things off right with some Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra. This here is a rendition of the theme song of Japan's most favorite thief from the Best of Tokyo Ska 1998 to 2007 compilation. It's Loop on the Third, World 78. Let's go! Advantage Lucy with Planetaria from her 2005 album Echo Park. It's been a while since I've heard from this band. In fact, I think Echo Park was their most recent release. Originally, the band went under the name Lucy Van Pelt after the football-pulling character from the beloved Peanuts series. So, there's a nice little trivia for you. The other day, I went and saw the new movie, Thor: The Dark World. Now, I love the first Thor movie, so much, in fact, that I saw it twice, 2 days in a row. So I had high hopes that the second one would deliver with stellar action, fine character development, and some humor dashed in for good measure. And for the most part, I got what I was looking for. I did notice a bit of a change in tone from the last film, with a much bigger emphasis on the humor. Perhaps actually a little bit too big. The first film was directed by Kenneth Branagh, a well-known Shakespearean actor and director, who captured the heart, soul, and even some of the humorous elements of the bard within the world of Thor, Loki, and Odin. And to throw it into a modernistic twist in some of the areas helped to flesh out the character of Thor and Loki in big and wonderful ways. It's why Thor is my favorite Avengers origin film. Unfortunately, Branagh was not available for the second Thor film, so they went and hired Alan Taylor, who in the past has directed episodes of Oz, Homicide: Life in the Streets, The Sopranos, and Game of Thrones, to name a few, so he's got a very impressive track record. What he is sadly lacking in, though, is experience in the theater realm, which is what made Branagh's version of Thor so fantastic. even though it would be next to impossible to stage Thor in front of a live audience. You could hypothetically strip it down to merely the actors and character, and you could get the same emotional aspect of the film right there in a theater. That's not to say I didn't enjoy Thor: The Dark World. In fact, I actually loved it. Seeing Loki and Thor team up against the Dark Elves in a well-thought-out way, mind you, not to mention the great action sequences and cool little plot twists that we've come to see in the Marvel Universe. It was just a wonderful sequel that really helped build up towards the next Avengers film. I just wish they toned down the comedy a little bit more and balanced it with some of the drama that made the first film so great. This coming from a guy who actually favors the comedic elements of the Marvel film, so, you know, maybe they kind of pushed it too far, if it even bothered me. So, altogether, I could give Thor: The Dark World a 4.3 out of 5. Definitely go check it out, and as usual, stay after the credits. Here's one of my favorite folk bands from the UK you should definitely check out, and I hope a visit to the US will be in the cards for them soon. From their album How to Not Cut Like a Buffalo, this is The Broken Broadcast with This Is My Wilderness.
We'll be right back.
Mania with Sunflower from their 2006 Greetings from Tokyo album. The very first band I got to interview back in the day. Sadly, they called it quits soon after, with each of the band members going off to do their own projects. Now, one other film I went and saw was Ender's Game. I really loved the original book as a kid, back when reading was something I really didn't enjoy doing. My thoughts on the author, though, well, seeing as I am an advocate for the things he's against, you can bet that we stand on opposite sides of the game board. But I'm not here to talk about his personal viewpoints. It's been a while since I read the book, though, but what I can tell you is that just about everything I remember reading as a kid was in this film. The battles, the mind games, Ender always writing to his sister Valentine. All that came to me from my memory back in the day was placed ever so visually onto the big screen in ways that not even my imagination as a kid could have come up with. I do have to give props to the acting in the film, especially with Asa Butterfield as the title role. Usually when you see child actors taking on a role that's as demanding as the character of Ender, the end result is a full-on fall in the face. Not so here, as Butterfield managed to bring a true humanistic approach to the character. I even read somewhere that he got some of the inspiration for his portrayal from the character of Shinji of Evangelion, and fortunately here, he took the aspects of Shinji that were shared with the original Ender character, foregoing the whole whiny little emo boy shtick that made me dislike the Eva character so much. Now, I know that they cut things out from the original book to fit into a 2-hour film, but to be perfectly honest, I can't think of anything that they could have kept in the book that would have made the film even better. All the best moments from the novel are in the movie, and there isn't a single thing that was pieced out that would have fleshed the story out better. Yes, it would have been probably more awesome and grander if they had done Ender's Game and possibly the entire saga as either a miniseries or a TV show, but as a film, I think Ender's Game is one of the better book-to-movie adaptations. As a fan of the original book, I can confidently give Ender's Game a 4.8 out of 5, and urge anyone who hasn't seen it to go. I know that some people out there are kind of boycotting the film because of Card's ass-backward viewpoints, but he's not getting a penny of the film's profits, so don't worry about it and go watch the movie. The battle scenes are truly worth seeing on the big screen. Our friends Mollus are in the studio right now, working alongside Electric Eel Shock bassist Kazuto Maekawa. Here's a track from their recent album, New Gravity. It's called Soldiers. Captain, my captain, with Happy Song. This is one of the first acts I'll be playing that will be at the upcoming Ilo Ilo show on November 29th, as will the next three I spin. Alright, boys and girls, get your pens and pencils ready because your favorite Japanese teacher is about to give you this week's lesson. It's time for Sawa Sensei's Nazo Nazo Nihongo!
Minasan, konnichiwa! Hello everyone, welcome back to Sawa Sensei's Nazo Nazo Nihongo, and this is Sawa speaking from Tokyo, Japan. As always, these days Tokyo is getting colder and colder every each day, and we start to see the Christmas ornaments everywhere around in the city and the towns. And in this time of the season is the best moment to enjoy the night view decorated with the Christmas lights, just like many other cities, I bet. But since Tokyo is such a compact city, there are a lot of viewpoints in this small area. I bet you should try and come visit here when you got a chance someday. Okay, in the last class, I talked about useful words that I heard from the newcomer to Tokyo from English-speaking country, which he picked up quickly because he heard the same expression quite often in his new life here in Japan. And today, I'd like to introduce two more expressions I heard from this friend and another friend, my Japanese friends here. The first expression of today is 大丈夫. 大丈夫. This is another mighty word that you can use at many different occasions, and it's quite easy to use because you don't have to use this in sentence sometimes. Of course, you can use this in a context as well, but let's stay in the simplest way. And in Japanese daily conversation, we surely do use this word, 大丈夫, quite a lot. This word means okay or all right. Just like English, if you put the question mark on the end, you can use it in a question form. Something like, are you okay? Or what's the matter? Or like, what's wrong? You say, 大丈夫? Okay. So, if your friend asks you, 大丈夫? Then you can simply answer, 大丈夫? Like, yes, I'm alright. 大丈夫? You go down. And only in the case you are okay, or there are no problem going around you, of course. In the case you are not 大丈夫, you are not alright, you add 大丈夫, 大丈夫じゃない, in the end. 大丈夫じゃない. It's like, not alright. In the Japanese grammar, everything goes, not everything, but most of the thing goes opposite from compared to English grammar. So, not okay. 大丈夫じゃない。じゃない. It means no, not. Alright? And just to make sure this word stick into your mind and to testify. Testify? Testify. How often this word is used in our daily life, I'd like to introduce you several example songs which include the title 大丈夫. 大丈夫さ前に進もう 大丈夫 at the very beginning of this song? This is one of the opening theme of the world famous Japanese animation One Piece, titled Kokoro no Chizu, the map of your heart. And as a part of dictation practice, let's try another song and try to catch the word daijoubu. Maybe that was pretty easy. This song is titled Daijoubu, as you know and you understand. Written and sang by Ulufulu Matsumoto from the band Ufuls in Japan. They're very popular. Okay, let's try something a little more tricky. For the next song, I'd like you to count up how many times they sing Daijoubu. The title of this song is another Daijoubu Dayo, this time together with Dayo, Daijoubu Dayo, by Funky Monkey Babies. They broke up this year's June, and I saw many people crying on a train on their final tour. They're one of the legendary band, I think, in recent Japanese music scene. Alright, then let's try to count up how many times they sing Daijoubu in this part of the song. Could you count up? Yes, that's right. It was 4 times. Daijoubu. Yes, we love this song. And maybe the reason we use Daijoubu so often is because we always want to have comfort. Well, I don't really know, but if you hear Daijoubu or Daijoubu, I feel a little relaxed. And, you know, some like everything's gonna be alright type of words, I'd say. Well, anyway, I hope you're more familiar with this word now. Daijoubu. Alright, daijoubu. Shall we move on? Okay, here's today's onomatopoeia question. What do you imagine when you hear jeje or jejeje? I know, it's hard to imagine only from the sound. But it's very common phrase now in Tokyo. Or in Japan, sorry. Jeje. Or jejeje. It means wow or ah to express how you are surprised. And when you want to emphasize how big your surprise was, you simply add another je. As an example, when you find something unbelievable, surprising, then you use this word, je. Say, your friend told you that he saw an UFO. Then you'll say, je, je. And when you keep talking about that UFO together with your friend, and then what if you actually saw the flying object around right behind your friend, might want to say je 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 je. You got it? Alright, let me talk something more academic from now. This word was originally used by elderly people, different generation, older generation than us, who mostly work as a fisher or a woman diver in the small town of Iwate Prefecture in Japan. That town is located in the north part of the main island of Japan. And not many people was using this word until NHK drama series Amacham had picked up this word in the drama. And this series became a big hit together with this word that had a great impact to every generation. So now everyone uses it on the phone, when they text a message, and they even exist emoticon of this word, jeje. I want to tell you how it looks like, but it's hard to describe it emoticon verbally, so let me just quickly note about it on my personal blog maybe later soon. I guess you can find me with three words, Sawa, S-A-W-A, and number 333, 3 threes, and sensei, and you'll quickly find my blog online. Anyway, I am very sure that if you use this jeje or jejeje to any of your Japanese friends, you'll be very surprised to know how well you're catching up this trendy Japanese. Trendy. Alright, on December 2nd, the most popular Japanese word of the year 2013 rankings top 10 will be announced. And this is something annual in Japan here. And now, 50 nominated words were announced this week. And of course, this word, jejeje, was in it. I wonder which word will be selected as number one. Hopefully, we'll catch up with this news again in our next class. Alright, that's all for today, everyone. Thank you very much for listening. それじゃあまたね。バイバイ。
Arigato, Sawa-sensei. Now, remember everyone, if you have any questions you'd like to ask Sawa, please be sure to write to us at thebastards@bostonbassbrigade.com. We'll be sure to filter through the good questions from the not-so-good, and hopefully we can all learn some pretty awesome and useful things from our good friend Sawa. From their album Landscape, here's Tessa Medico with a very ambient track called Vivid.
そして時は経ち、今も僕は思う、もしなくしたものを全部なくしてしまっていなかったとしたなら、
from their album Singles 2010 to 2011. They'll be releasing a new EP sometime later this month, so be sure to check out their official website for more details. So, before the screening of Ender's Game, the theater played an ad for Nerf toys, which have been around for many, many years. What made this commercial different, though, was that these specific Nerf toys were designed specifically for women. Pink bow and arrows, pretty guns, and other styles of foamed weaponry. As soon as the ad was over, I began to ask myself, is this really necessary? As far down as I can remember, Nerf toys have been unisex. I had friends from both genders playing the crap out of them, shooting at one another and laughing about it. After all, as a kid, Nerf guns were our only means of protection from the dreaded childhood virus known as the cooties. So were super soakers, but only in the summertime when the disease was weakest against water. Why now does Nerf think it can make these princessified versions of the toys we all grew up loving? It's probably because of Hunger Games and such, but even still, it's just not needed. I then also realized that this commercial was the first time I've seen women in a Nerf ad. When I was younger, they'd have the ads for Nerf blasters and bazookas and all the other ones, and they'd be all dudes playing with the toys. Maybe, and I'm just throwing it out here, maybe they should have Nerf ads with both boys and girls playing? Hell, make the first ad the battle of the sexes and such and have the girls win. Because, hey, anybody can be a victor in a Nerf war, and what better way to do it than to have a Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs situation throwdown? And if you don't get that reference, please do yourself a favor and look it up right now. This is an audio podcast, so you can probably multitask. So, Hasbro, do yourselves a favor and just shelve this Nerf for girls idea. The women won't make a fuss about it, as they probably think it's a stupid marketing tactic, too. Instead, make your ads appeal to both sexes at the same time. Like I said, all of us kids have been playing with your toys, and never has a woman ever uttered a phrase, "You know, this gun could be more pretty." Because they know better. You know, when I was younger, there was a Hasbro in Parker Brothers' office in Salem and Beverly. Actually, I think the office in Beverly is still there, so why am I not just going over there and talking to them about it? Of course, if I go, they'll make me fill out an application, and then I would then have to make an appointment, which would be done months in advance, and then by the time the meeting is about to come about, odds are this Nerf for Girls campaign would be dropped. So perhaps it shouldn't be bothered by walking over there and talking to them, because odds are they'll probably see it's dumb by the time the sales numbers hit, and they see women bought more of the regular ones than the girly ones. Making Nerf more girly. I mean, come on. You didn't have to bro up My Little Pony Friendship is Magic to make it appeal to us guys. So don't change the formula because you think it'll appeal to another demographic. Because, honestly, it probably already does. Next up, we have Canadian singer-songwriter Mickey Acorn. And he had an epiphany, and that was to move to Japan to find more inspiration for his sound. He also made a couple friends along the way and decided to form a band and make this elusive sound complete. From his new album, Twin Peaks, which will be out on December 10th, and accompanied by the Sen City Sinners, here's Mickey Acorn with Drown With Me.
We gotta get out of here, honey. We gotta get away real soon. Levee broke the water, we'll be here by noon. There's a tree line up ahead. The river dried and the wood was dead. Don't try to plant where you can't grow.
Aside from their answer single, that was Flow with Electric Circus. They released a new album earlier this year called Flow the Max. I wonder if they found out what Flow Max is here after they titled that. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bass Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're a band and want to be promoted on the show, or if you have a question for our dear friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbassbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. And don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Boston Bastard Brigade. And also, don't forget the other shows under the Land of Esh, including Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. If you're in the Chiba area of Japan this week, you can catch the next Iro Iro show on Friday, November 29th at 7 p.m. Oh Captain, My Captain, Icon Girl Pistols, Tessa Marico and the Sin City Sinners with Mickey Acorn will be performing at the event. Tickets are free with one drink purchase, so be sure to go check that out if you're in the area. And my thanks again to Mr. Tom Molesky for sending me down those tracks to play. I hope the show goes very, very well this week. We're going to end today's program with a very special cover. We started with a cover, we're going to end the show with one. A great rendition of a classic Velvet Underground track, who, as you know, their founder, Lou Reed, passed away a few weeks back. Here's Suemitsu and the Sumith with a very lively rendition of I'm Waiting for the Man. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Oh, promise, sir, it's for someone else.